just want to first of all thank David again for his graciousness and his warmth, the way he is excited about being hosting this event. It's very special. David, thank you again. I'd also like to, at this point in time, thank Rabbi Yitzchak Lebel, who has undertaken the burden of becoming the Yeshiva Lel coordinator, and in that context also reaching out to the alumni. It's a very an element which we probably have been, we can call ourselves deficient in up to this point in time to some extent. We're hoping to try and rectify that a little bit more, make sure that we're addressing the interests and needs of the alumni more. And Baruch Hashem, he's been very effective in bringing some type of organization and to the Yeshiva Gedolah office, if you can imagine such a thing should exist. There should be such an odd thing called Yeshiva Gedolah office, and the B should have organization. Those are two madrigas of accomplishment, so we really appreciate that. And so he's here, and if you, so most many of you overlapped with him. Some of you, I think by now everybody's here has overlapped with you. The earlier generation has already has walked out. I wanted to give you one or two updates on what's going on by us. So Baruch Hashem, the first year program is now, we started it six years ago, and we're working on moving recruiting towards the coming year. So if you have anybody that you think would benefit from the special flavor that the yeshiva has in the first year program, please be in touch with Rabbi Lebel, and that's something that's very kosher. On the kollel front, I have been somewhat pushed into the position of Rosh Karlo, in a real way, which means I get to fundraise for it. That's what I mean. the title's very nice, but we added 7 Yugel Light this year. We have a chabura of guys which are driving in from Baltimore every day, including Fridays, but we will speak to them about all this last Friday they missed, so we'll have to speak to them about that. And it's added a lot to Beis Medrash. I have right now in the morning 18 people learning Shabbos with Chabura, learning Sukkot Zabayna right now, going on to Sukkot Chorish. So it's really added a lot to Beis Medrash, and it's a very Shmaya Halloway Vaitra. That's been something very special. We made a Yom Iyun about 2 weeks ago. The next one will be about 2.5 months. Those of you who have attended, I think it's been, appreciate the event that you came. If you can get into your schedule to come, I think you'll enjoy it very much. It's a very geschmack, it's been a very wonderful event. This last one we had about 120 people came. The one before that we had almost 200 people. In Beis Medrash, you can imagine that, what the Beis Medrash looked like. It was gewaldic. If you could join us, it'd be great. Okay, so much for the advertisements. That's the word from our sponsors. And now for the program. So I just wanted to share with you one interesting thing. The question which comes up many times, we're looking towards Hanukkah. It's not that far away. One of the issues that comes up is the where the lights, person's eating out, etc. So Mishnah Berurah has the quote from a Taz and the Magen Avraham, both of them say, if a person is Be'iro, and he goes out for dinner somewhere, so he can't light there. It's not really his place. Let's go back a step. We have a discussion in Halacha, what is the proper place of a person to light? Is it a person has his house where he eats, he drinks, he sleeps there, etc. That's Pashut. What if a person has one place where he eats, one place where he sleeps? That's his rearrangement. Right? He sleeps in one place, but he always takes his meal somewhere else. So where is the main place where the person Zira is that he should light? So this really is based on the Gemara in Erevin, which discusses the issue in regards to Rubei Chatzeris. Every member of the Chatzer has to join. If I'm a sleeping partner of that Chatzer, I'm not really a part of that Chatzer, I don't have to join. If one member of the Chatzer does not join, so then nobody can carry in the Chatzer. So what would be the situation, the Gemara says, where Ruvain takes his meals in Chatzer A, but sleeps in Chatzer B? Does he have to be mishtatev in Chatzer A or in Chatzer B? There's some plugins in the Gemara, and we pass in the Dikr Pesach as a person who goes buster pizza. People are really concerned where their food is, and therefore the Chatzer that he eats in is his Chatzer. That's where he would have to be Mishtatif and Rubach Hatzeris. And the fact that he doesn't join in Chatzar B until the Rubach Hatzeris does not affect them, their Rubach Hatzeris is valid. That's not really his main Mokum. So we don't have a situation where one member of the Chatzar is not joining. He doesn't really belong in that Chatzar. He belongs in Chatzar A. We take that halacha and we transfer that to Hilchos Chanukah. If a person has a question, where should he light? The place where he eats or where he sleeps? Again, the answer is the place where a person eats. So it comes along the Taz and Magen Rambam say, okay, what about a situation where a person is sleeping in his house? He's eating out. So tonight, his Makom Achila is by a friend. That's his Makom Achila. You tell me Makom Achila is the Iker, his Achila is over there, not where he's sleeping. So what about that situation? So the Taz and Magen Rambam say that situation, we say Makom Achila or Makom Shina, we don't mean this specific evening. What we mean is in general. In general, his place where he eats and sleeps is somewhere else. He happens to take a meal here one time is irrelevant. So he would have to light at home. What's the problem? The problem is he's not at home to light. So what should he do? So they discuss the scenario, Lashon of this, that he should have one of his Bnei Bayis who didn't join him light at home the proper time. So what about a situation where you take all your Bnei Bayis out of your house? You're not going to be home at the proper time. You take all your Bnei Bayis with you to this other place. The simple reading of the Mishmur does not discuss that case explicitly. But the simple reading from the flow over there, when he wants to say that this case is not true, he brings a Pri-Chodesh. Pri-Chodesh says, what about a person, in honor of the Chanukah, he leaves his home, and he moves in by his in-laws, and he spends the 8 days of Chanukah eating and sleeping by his in-laws. He says, of course, in that situation, you would go bust through the by his in-laws. And the language of the Pri-Chodesh is because he can't go back home and light. There's nobody home anyway over there. So that's lost on the Pri-Chodesh. So he seems to throw in this Likudah of you can't ask him to light back where he at home because there's nobody there. But the scenario which he discusses it in the context of moving out from his house for the 8 days. So our scenario was there's nobody home. You have that argument, but he didn't move out for the 8 days. He didn't move out for one day. He moved out for a few hours. Okay, so we're getting closer to our scenario. Comes along Rishlam Zalman. So Rabbi Yashav actually on this, when he was just, asked the question, well, what about if you go away for 2 or 3 days? What about that? He says you have to go back and light at home. If it's in the same city, you have to go back and light at home. It's only 8 days. If the whole 8 days of Chanukah, you're out of your place. So that's true. Comes along Rishlam Zalman. Rishlam Zalman said, no, even one day. If one day you would actually leave your home with your family and the Nebayas and move out for Achila and Shina somewhere else, that's your home is not your Makom for that day, and that's the argument that the Pri-Chodesh would apply in that case as well. So now it gets more complicated. We're getting closer to our scenario where a person takes his whole family out for the evening and the whole Zman Adlaka, they're not home. There's nobody at home back at home to light. So, but he's not going to be sleeping there. He didn't move out for the whole 24 hours. He'll only be eating there and be sleeping back at home. And we said, Makom Achila Zikr. So what's the luck on that scenario? Which is a pretty common scenario. So the Rishlam Zalman seems to read when he passes into that situation that you have to light at home. Since you didn't leave there for Achila and Shina, you have to light at home. That's how I usually paskin. That's always. I mean, I think that seems to make sense to me. Even if you're extending this chiddush of the pre-chodesh of 8 days down to one day, the point is you left there. But over in this scenario, you will be home later on. And the ikra malka is from bnei bayis. So eventually, you will have your bayis. Your bnei bayis. You can light your bnei bayis. So the question is, but if there's man halakha, so according to the Ramah, the ikra's man halakha is not by the earlier zman, etc. He says the ikra halakha is for the bnei bayis. So, which can be done later on. It's a milder to do it earlier, but meeker than you can do it much later.
If you're going to a wedding in New York, which happens?
Oh, okay, so I'm going to get to the wedding scenario. Right. So this question came up last year. We had, I attended a chasna, two Silver Spring people getting married in Baltimore during Hanukkah. Right. So, but anybody who slept from Silver Spring, they're going to come already. They're leaving before this month of Halakha, and they're getting home at 11 o'clock at night. So, can they light your light benachas? That was the question which came up, and they put out menorahs over there, actually, for people to light. And then of course people came and asked me, what should they use those? Like they asked me after it had been set up at the expectation. So now you ask me. So they didn't leave anybody at home. What should you do? So I still think that Ikra Lok is at home. Ikra Lok is at home because you will be at home at some point in the evening. You'll be back. That scenario, they're going back late, even though it's late at night. Rav Moshe has a truma where he talks about we can light from Plag and Mincha. So if you leave your home after Plag, Rav Moshe holds it's better to light by Plag, and it'll continue you to the evening rather than lighting when you get back late at night.
Yeah. Like,
and they have to be, they last long enough till they have to last long enough to the half an hour after Seis.
Even if you won't see them, you and your family.
Right. Even if you did a luck on the bias. You got luckers on the bias. You did a luck on the bias. There's a dinner of Birchas Araya. You should see Neris. So usually where you are going to be, there's somebody to be lighting. So they should. It's preferably you should hear the brachas there also. So they you. You lit at home, you're a kind of luck of lighting in your bias. Ner Isha Besa. There's another luck of seeing the Ner, assuming the first and the next, but when that's the Katha Birchas Araya, you'll hear somebody else make the bracha and be yotze with that. But a scenario which comes up is you travel out of town to, let's say, to New York for a chasna, and say if you're going to come back that night, you're going to get back 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, so what? You're definitely not, you're not at home by Plag and Mincha. You'll be back before Alois. So the Chemin Moshe Paskins that you can light before Alois, and again, I still think the proper time place to light would be at home. But if the scenario is you're not going to get home, so then you have this strange scenario, you're not home, and there's no, you know, and asking somebody to light for you in your house, making a shliach, questionable. But your mokum really isn't the chasna either. Right? It's not your mokum, it's a one night place of achila. You're not sleeping there either. Maybe you'll sleep in by some, you know, you'll find some motel halfway you get home, the 2 hours of dribble on the way. Maybe, I don't know, maybe yeah, maybe no. But so there's an argument, and I think that the argument could be correct, that you don't believe in loka. You're not in your bias, there's nobody in your bias. So that's the pre-Chodesh argument. If there's nobody in the bias, there's nothing about loka in the bias. Making a shliach to do it for you then would not make sense. You don't have a welcome shina tonight. You just have a welcome achila for that moment. Or do you argue that this is where you are with your bnei bayis and this is the right place to light? So I found the Kenyan, the Sefer Kenyan Torah, he's mechadish based on the pre-Chodesh that everybody left the house and there's nobody to light back home. And this is where you all are. You can light your bnei. That's his Kiddush. I just mama saw this within the last 24 hours. And I don't have a copy of Kenyan Torah yet to look it up to see what his recurrence are. But that's a very interesting Kiddush, but I just wanted to share with you that I just saw now that there'd be an argument in that situation. The people who would light by the chasna, we'd be allowed to light with the bracha according to him. You're allowed to light by the bracha because that's the makam. This is your makam achila now. You don't have any other alternative, other makam, for this point in time. So you could light up there with a bracha. That's the Kiddush I wanted to share with you.